Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, it's good to have you on board today.
Well, it's a blessing to be able to open God's Word, and especially on the topic that we are going to begin for this series on dealing with the book of Habakkuk.
Yeah, before we jump into that, I know you've been kind of out and about in a number of different places. I know you were up in the Michigan area ministry, and I think you actually got up into Canada for a while, and maybe you ought to catch our readers up a little bit.
Yeah, we were up in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. A lot of our graduates up there, blessing to see the blessing of God on their ministries, souls being saved. Several came for baptism. New converts came for baptism on Sunday up in Moncton, New Brunswick, and then had a great time at the Forest Glen Camp up there in Nova Scotia. And we were in North Carolina, lower Michigan, then the tip of upper Michigan. So we have been kind of on the move, but God is giving strength, and praise God, we're seeing good fruit.
Well, I know our listeners enjoy these updates, and I know many of them pray for you personally as you're on the road. And we just like to keep up with you, and we are looking forward to a great series together. In fact, as you mentioned earlier, we're talking out of the book of Habakkuk, and you and I were talking before the actual broadcast time that this is actually an interesting book because it's one of the few books in the Bible that's an entirely a prayer. In fact, it's three different prayers, if I got you right.
Yeah, it's in the Minor Prophets, but it's not a prophecy. It is three separate prayers, and it is the testing of faith. There's faith sighing, faith seeing, and faith singing. And we want to talk about the sighing of faith. Why? Mm-hmm. Did he come to the point of being in such agony of soul when he saw the prosperity of the wicked and the persecution of the righteous?
And I think those two things are really important as we jump into the series because, in a way, I think we're kind of mirroring that in our own culture today. I mean, you start thinking about what you're reading in the paper in terms of how righteousness is being persecuted and how wickedness is being exalted. You start thinking about how it, even in our political leadership and in our political system, I mean, it just seems like God is being pushed aside. And it's not an innocent pushing aside. It's not an ignorance. It's an intentional setting aside.
It's a willful putting aside of God's truth, God's word. It's a willful mocking of God's truth. The frustrating thing for Habakkuk is the thing that is frustrating to us. Why does God seem silent?
Right.
When laws are being passed, dethroning him, when morals are being just completely cast aside, the whole operating base of God's absolute truth has been kicked out of our society, and yet it seems like God has been silent.
It's so inconsistent with what we know about God.
Yes.
It's so inconsistent. Like, for example, he talks about his care for his people, his promise to deliver them. And here we are, and we're in the midst of a horrible economic scenario, and we realize God can step in, and we pray that God will step in, and yet at times he doesn't step in.
Right, and that's what's exciting about the book of Habakkuk, because it goes through every emotion that we're feeling, Habakkuk experienced, and yet we understand that God is indeed absolutely in control. So this is going to be a blessed, I believe, soul-settling study.
Yeah, we're calling the series Hope for Hopeless Times. And I really do think that kind of captures it because there is, I mean, as I talk to people today, you know, in our church and in our city, and as I, you and I have traveled a good bit this summer, you just kind of get a sense even from God's people that we're still being faithful, we're still being righteous, but there is almost a sense that, you know, man, this is not going to be a good picture here.
Well, we'll be able to get into the truth of this, and why don't you read Habakkuk chapter 1 for those of you who will be following. We'll be going through the majority of the book of Habakkuk, and then we want to go back into the history of the southern kingdom, what led up to this.
Yeah, the context of all
this.
Yeah,
read the Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
What's interesting is the first verse, how Habakkuk introduces it. He says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Not the vision that
yes.
he saw, the burden. And I think sometimes we could feel
yes,
that way.
Exactly.
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth.
So there he was saying, God, the wicked are literally encircling the righteous. The righteous are under persecution. Wrong judgment is going forth. Wrong decisions are being made. And there doesn't seem to be any answer when, God, you could do something about this. I think it would be good for us to go back and look what led up to this in the Southern Kingdom. Remember, the Northern Kingdom had no good kings. Southern Kingdom had 8 out of the 20 good kings.
Yeah.
And so we're
looking at the very end of that.
We're looking at, let's briefly at least consider the last 8 kings of Judah, and it'd be great for us to look into the context of this.
Now, we're starting with Hezekiah.
Yeah, good King Hezekiah and his 29-year reign, and we think he began reigning, and he did see a measure of revival under his reign because he had a heart for God. And you'll see that in 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 28. And there was this time of revival. Now, who was Hezekiah's son?
Probably one of the worst kings in the whole kingdom, Manasseh.
Yeah, a vile 55-year, longest of the reign of the kings in the southern kingdom. Tolerated sodomy, sacrificed children in Hinnom. You see Gehenna.
Yeah, yeah.
The valley of Hinnom, where children were literally being sacrificed. There was torture, bloodshed, idols in the temple. And this was the son of good King Hezekiah.
So just because you have a good heritage doesn't mean you're going to have a good future.
No, not at all, because it goes back to that individual choice. Let's say if you and I were born today, this is 2008, add 55 years, what date would it be? I mean, you're born and Hezekiah begins to reign.
2063.
2063.
I'd be 99.
From the time of your birth till you're 55 years old, Manasseh would have been king. And as a believer, you would have been under tremendous pressure. I mean, that's a long time.
Right.
And then Amon, his son reigned, and that was a 2-year reign, and he was so wicked, his own servants killed him. Then, interestingly enough, here comes Josiah.
The boy king.
The boy king. He was 8 years old, and he reigned for 31 years. And we find at age 16, and when you look through the history, those of you who read through the Bible every year, follow through the progression of the kings, and you'll see at age 16, it says he began to seek the Lord. Now, this is the first time in Judah's history that anybody had a heart to seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
First time
mm-hmm.
in 60 years. And here's the 16-year-old boy who begins to seek the Lord. At age 20, he was so outraged by the atrocities that broke down the altars of Balaam, the houses of the Sodomites, and he defiled Hinnom. In other words, he stopped all of that activity.
So there's almost like God intervening and giving a brief reprieve to this downward slide.
Yeah, and whenever you see the wheel of judgment, God's prophets had this wheel of judgment
mm-hmm.
was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there was a heart for God manifested, there was revival, and the wheel of judgment stopped. That's a great encouragement to us today.
Mm-hmm.
Many people say, why pray for a revival? Why preach revival? It's a hopeless age. Well, I'll guarantee you, if you looked at the age in which these men were living,
yeah.
It seemed absolutely hopeless. But every time leader manifested a heart for God, there was a turn.
And I think that's a really important point to park on, Doc, because I think sometimes we do get into this hopeless mindset. Well, it's all going to go on the drink anyway, so we might as well just kind of hole up. But I think, you know, this Josiah narrative here is that reminder that even in our day, as dark as it is, there's still a need to get on our knees and just ask God to intervene.
Absolutely. And every time a measure of repentance was shown, God's mercy was
mm-hmm.
shown.
Mm-hmm.
And they experienced 31 years of peace and prosperity and reform. And what happened under Josiah's reign? When Josiah was 26 years old, what was discovered?
The book of the law that had been lost.
The lost word of God. And what a revival. And you study what Ezra did when that book was brought before the people, that great revival that took place in Nehemiah chapter 8. this book was discovered under the reign of Josiah, and that heart was there. Interesting. The only people on the face of the earth had God's word lost it.
Sounds like today.
Boy, what a rebuke that is to us as believers who just let God's word sit.
And you know what? It was in the temple the whole time.
Right.
It's not that they lost it. It's that they just removed themselves from the place where it was.
Yeah, it didn't like fall off the chariot
yeah.
and say, oh, man, who lost my Bible? And it got buried in the dirt. No, yeah. It was right there within the temple. And I don't understand why Josiah did what he did to go and interfere with Pharaoh Necho. Pharaoh Necho was pushing north,
yeah.
And he said, Josiah, we don't want to deal with you. God is sending us up here. And yet, for whatever reason, he decided to go.
Now, he was killed in battle, actually.
Killed in battle. And then Jehoahaz reigned 3 months, and he was exiled. And then Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah were these last rulers. And I want to focus on Jehoiakim. We probably will have to take up with this in the next broadcast as well. If we go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36, and those of you who are listening at home, or if you are driving and listening, it would be good for you to go back on the website and try to pick this up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were to read Jeremiah chapter 36, you would put in the context of the frustration that was being experienced by Habakkuk. Because
in other words, that's what his prayer is being sourced out of.
It is within this time frame what was happening to the Word of God during this time. Now, Jeremiah was a God-called prophet, and God was revealing truth to him.
Mm-hmm.
What an encouragement it is for us sitting here in our country and say, yeah, this is what it seems like is happening, but it may be that God's people will hear, God's people will repent, and there will be my presence known once again. And then Jeremiah was commanding Baruch to keep writing, and he said, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. And then again, it says, and it may be that they will present their supplications and return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So we stop the broadcast here. But we're going to pick up again with this prophecy of Jeremiah, because it's in this context that Habakkuk is writing. We want to see what happens to the Word of God in this chapter.
And we'll look forward to the next broadcast. For those of you that are joining us, this is our first broadcast in our series, Hope for Hopeless Times. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.